Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a fantastic weather day down here in Florida, boy. It is really blue and really nice. So it's actually may go outside after the show here in a little bit and get a little bit of sun. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Got a lot of news to cover today. What's your first story, bud?
Well, this is pretty wild now. We're starting to see an actual hatred almost towards Trump supporters in colleges now, where the schools are actually condoning violent rhetoric towards students and allowing professors to essentially criticize them in class. This was a situation that came up about a week and a half ago. A college student who took a video of an instructor telling the class that Donald Trump's election was an act of terrorism has now gotten suspended from a California school for one semester. Caleb O'Neill also must meet with the dean of students of Orange Coast College in Costa Mesa before he's readmitted and then remain on disciplinary probation for a semester. In addition, he must write an apology letter to the instructor, Olga Perez Stablocks, and a three-page double-spaced essay on why he recorded the video despite knowing it was in violation of the syllabus, as well as his thoughts and analysis regarding why he made it public, among other stipulations. If he fails to meet any of these disciplinary requirements, he will be expelled from college district permanently. Now, Bill Becker, founder and president of Freedom X, a law firm, is specializing in defending conservative and religious freedom, is representing O'Neill now and told Campus Reform that his suspension is a full attack by leftists and that they will have an appeal filed shortly. Now, it's pretty wild about this. When they asked O'Neill why he did this, because it blatantly said in the syllabus you couldn't record the professor, he said that he was in fear of retaliation by his instructor after she launched a half-hour rant in which she labeled Trump a white supremacist. She then told Trump supporters in class to stand up during the lecture, which he stated was very intimidating. She then told the class she would no longer tolerate any person that voted for Trump. He pulls out his phone and starts recording this now. So O'Neill videotaped the rant over concerns that his grade would be directly lowered from what happened in class because of his outward show of support for Trump. He intended to use the video to present to the administration as evidence of his concerns. And she went on to say in there, she goes, "Our nation is divided. We have been assaulted. It's an act of terrorism with the election of Donald Trump now." Well, the problem was he ended up posting this online, and so it got way too much publicity, got a almost went viral online, and so now they did all this stuff to him in retaliation of this. Now, granted, if it says in the syllabus you can't report forward professors, I understand that, but there also, too, has to be some discretion with the dean of academics and the disciplinary probation officer, that if you feel a professor is directly invading your rights, his right to vote, it's every American's right, and starts criticizing you and going on a 30-minute rant about how Trump is a terrorist, as an act of terrorism because he got voted for you, I don't see an issue at all if he recorded this in class, Dad. But again, as I just said, we see the leftist liberal universities now pushing this further and further and further on these unknowing students and trying to make them submit to this liberal globalist ideology, to whatever they say goes, and you will follow their order no matter what it is, regardless of what it is, no matter how unethical or immoral it is. You have to follow their lead. So, I mean, what do you think about this now? That it's starting to happen all over these colleges now.
It's basically an indoctrination center. It's like being in a concentration camp in which you have to follow the rules and the orders given to you by the Gestapo there. Otherwise, they're going to take you out back and, in this case, suspend you. I mean, this is some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was a college professor for 2 years. And this is back in the 1981 and 1982. So there really wasn't any recording equipment. That wasn't extremely large back then that you could bring in a giant, you know, camera to take video of me and I would know that it was going on. And the thing about it is, though, I really wouldn't have cared had they known that I was teaching, because I quite frankly would like to have some of the old tapes that I've talked with. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
The problem is this. If they're saying stuff that is so anti-constitutional, if they're saying stuff that's so egregious to this young fellow that he really thought he was going to fail the class, I personally believe he has every right to tape the class. I also believe that anybody should be able to tape any class at all. The main reason they do the no taping of the class is to prevent infringement on intellectual property. Now, what that simply means is that they don't want to make people think they can take that professor's lectures, put them on a DVD series or on a download, and sell them on YouTube or sell them on, a series set. That's the problem. They don't want to do that, so they're trying to not infringe on intellectual property. But this is way beyond that. When a person gets into a personal rant and wants to take off about what Trump has done or whatever, that's his own opinion. Now, if he says to his classroom, it's in my opinion that Donald Trump has done this or Donald Trump is that, what are dissenting opinions? And that's what I used to always do. I would always go into class and I would talk and I'd give them my opinion as a Christian. And they knew that I was a Christian because, good Lord, they call me the preacher teacher. And then I would ask the class, what are your dissenting opinions? Do you disagree with me? Do you agree with me? Why do you feel that I'm right? Why do you feel that I'm wrong? It was more of a Socrates, kind of like a Plato or a Socrates type of teaching. And so that's how I taught. I would go in there and try to have an open dialogue with the kids. And that's why I had children come up to me years later. Of course, they weren't children. They were young adults by this point, and tell me that I was the only class they'd ever taken in their university time that had ever taught them anything, because I taught them how to think to the best of my ability. Now, I got to the situation where they couldn't know, and when the kids couldn't answer true false questions, I had to sit there and show them what a coin was and how to flip. I'm not kidding you, Austin. I had to sit there and take a penny and I had to flip it in front of the class. I said, okay, it's 50 heads, 50 tails, flip, flip, flip. So if you're taking a test and you basically don't know the answer and it's true false, if you don't put anything down, there's a 100% chance that you're going to miss this question. If at least you just put true, true, true all the way down, if you don't know the answers, chances are 50% of the time you're going to be right. And I said, so I had to teach them stuff like that, which was kind of ridiculous. They had actually gotten into a university system and they couldn't answer a true, false question. And of course, when I had them answer short answer essays, that was like a whole other revelation. And remember, guys, this was like 36, 37 years ago. You know, now I can't even imagine with Common Core how poor these grammatical skills have become, and how poor their reasoning skills have become, especially with this onslaught of immunizations these children have given. But yes, I agree with you, Austin. There has to be some type of accountability when a professor steps out of his course syllabus and starts talking about personal stuff and then starts threatening the students how he won't tolerate this or tolerate that if a student's diametrically opposed to his value system. So I personally think that teacher should be suspended and not that student, and that's how I feel about that. And by the way, 60% of the refugee arrivals since the judge has halted Trump's order have come from 5 terror-prone countries. Surprise, surprise. 60% of the refugees admitted to the United States since federal judge halted President Trump's executive order designed to prevent foreign terrorists entering the United States originate from 5 of the 7 countries identified by the administration and its predecessor as most risky. Of the total 2,576 refugees settled in the U.S. from around the world since the U.S. District Judge on February the 3rd issued a restraining order, 1,560% are from Syria, 472 from Iraq, 363 from Somalia, 117 from Iran, and 65 from Sudan. No refugees have arrived from the other two applicable countries, Yemen and Libya. I mean, I don't even know what to say. This is exactly why Trump said what he said. This is exactly why this mess has got to stop, Austin.
Well, the kid that went up to Ohio State that came here 2 years ago was from Somalia. Came from Somalia, went to Ohio State on a full refugee ride, fully paid for, decided life was just too horrible in America, having your college paid for, your housing paid for, and your food paid for, and it would be better to run students over with your car and then jump out and start to slash and stab them with a butcher knife. That's the type of caliber of people we're getting from Somalia. And I'm not saying everybody from Somalia wants to engage in that type of unbelievably deviant behavior, but what I am saying is he came from Somalia. So you got to put two and two together. It's always this funny thing. I heard that the other day. Somebody said, you know, not all Muslims are terrorists, but almost all significant terrorists are Muslims. Well, you start kind of laughing about that when you really think about it. And, you know, you may be able to put some of the guys that got busted, you know, back with the back in the 90s with ATF when he blew up the one building. I forgot his name over there. But, you know, a few guys like that.
Timothy.
Timothy McVeigh, yeah. And so, I mean, that whole thing, in my opinion, was set up, and they got him involved in that whole thing. But almost all these other significant attacks you see, they're almost all Muslim. So everybody just has to take that food for thought. But also, too, back to the college experience that's happening right now for the younger generation, I just got it in. A report from LifeZ is going through now showing that U.S. universities are now actually offering anti-Trump resistance classes. Now, no, I am not kidding about this. And they started here, in the age of President Donald Trump, conformity with the rule of law is bad while revolution is good. Though conservative criticism of President Obama was completely dismissed by the academic left, and those voicing it were told to sit down and shut up because they were only disagreeing because they were racist and bigots, any type of criticism of Trump is not only welcome, it is even being nurtured and even transformed into outright militant behavior. Take Duke University, for example. The LifeZ reported, there in the heart of Durham, North Carolina, is the anti-Trump bandwagon, where a workshop is teaching students how to rail against the Trump White House. The workshop titled, and I quote, "Ideas for Activism in the Time of Trump," throws more shade on a billionaire Republican president for things he hasn't done nor has ever advocated for. It's almost a joke. According to the LifeZ, the topics include understanding the importance of the changing of hearts and minds and the changing of public policy and social justice movements, and how our North Carolina Moral Monday movement can be a model of a diverse coalition that brings together social justice people to take a stand against the tyrannical Trump administration. Now, you guys already know, we've talked about in detail, social justice is just a liberal left code language for the push of policies that actually elevate certain ethnicities and sexual identities above everyone else in some weird sense of entitlement. So this whole social justice warrior thing is completely out of hand. You can go look that up online if you want more research on it. I'm not going to go into any more detail. We've talked about it enough. But yeah, Dad, now at Duke University, they're offering workshops now on basically how to resist Trump. This right now, if this would have happened 8 years ago when the Kenyan Obama got in office, they would have shut this down so fast, they probably would have even suspended the students, whoever were handling the workshops and hosting the workshops, and said, you guys are engaging in racist behavior against the President of the United States. We're going to be suspending you for a semester now for this egregious behavior. But no, not with Trump. It's like everything's flipped on its head now with him. Good is bad and bad is good to the left liberals. It's pretty out of control, Dad. And that's why I wanted to bring that up with the second topic with the college campuses, because this is literally getting widespread now across the country.
Well, you have to understand something. You know, with the Cloward and Piven, with Saul Alinsky, with Rules for Radicals, these are the these are the things that Hillary Clinton cut her teeth on. This is what took her down left. She was a Barry Goldwater girl. People understand that. Clinton was a Barry Goldwater girl back in the 60s. And she left all of that and went into this extreme radical left with Saul Alinsky. And she was like that was like her hero. Now, I pulled up Rules for Radicals right on Wikipedia. And I'm going to read you a couple chapters or a couple paragraphs on what it says about this, because it's very interesting. It says, now remember, Obama was a big fan of this guy too. Rules for Radicals, a pragmatic primer for realistic radicals, is the last book published in 1971 by the communist Saul Alinsky. I added communist. Shortly before his death, his rule for the specific rules for radicals was to create. Listen to this: a guide for future community organizers, which is what Obama was, to use in uniting low-income communities or have-nots in order to have them gain social, political, legal, and economic power. Within it, Alinsky compiled the lessons he had learned throughout his experiences of community organizing from 1939 to 1971 and targeted these lessons at the current new generation of radicals. It talks about, though targeted at community organization, these chapters touch on other issues that range from ethics, education, there you go, communication, control of the media, and symbol construction, there you go, the right brain absorbs the symbols, to nonviolence and political philosophy. Though published for the new generation of counterculture era organizers in 1971, Alinsky's principles have been successfully applied by numerous government, labor, community, and congregation-based organizations. I mean, this is some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. The inspiration for Rules to Radical was drawn from Alinsky's personal experience as a community organizer. It was also taken from the lessons he learned from his University of Chicago professor, Robert Park, who saw communities as reflections of the larger processes of an urban society. This goes on and on, and you can read through this if you'd like. And the reality is this. That's what this is. This is Rules for Radicals, right out of Saul Alinsky's playbook, Hillary Clinton's mentor. Barack Obama was a big fan of this guy. This communist garbage has been going on now in our country since this red garbage came over from Europe from the communist revolution in the 30s and in the 40s when they fled Europe and fled the Bolshevik revolution into the United States. A lot of these guys were started, number one, you got to remember this, and I'm not picking on them, this is who they are, these Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Rothschild, Luciferians, that's what they are, Satanists, I'm picking on those guys now, and also the international banking community. The whole thing about this, guys, this is unbelievable that these guys have actually got this type of satanic foothold in the United States, and they're allowing themselves to get this type of media coverage, which they also control. Yesterday I went to get my hair cut, and I could not believe they had CNN on in the barbershop, and I could not believe the evisceration they were giving Donald Trump and the absolute lies they were promoting for the entire time I sat in there and listened to it. I would have asked them to turn the TV off. I normally do that, but I was just curious as to how many lies they could tell in one segment, and it was over and over and over, almost all about Flynn. Guys, this is going to be interesting for the next 4 or 5 years, 8 years. Hopefully Trump will stay in it for 8 years. But it's not going to get any better until we all continue to stand in faith and pray. Tomorrow we got a special show for you tomorrow. We're going to be going into the blood of Christ again tomorrow, going into detail on what the blood does and how you can be sanctified through the blood and how you can have power through the blood. So we're going to have a great show tomorrow. So you guys need to stay tuned. Make sure you listen to tomorrow's show. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, yeah, speaking of Flynn, I saw the show on Fox, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, with former U.S. Representative Dennis Kucinich, the Democrat from Ohio, and he was a guest on there, and he called the CIA out. He discussed in detail how the intelligence community is intentionally trying to uproot Donald Trump in the wake of Flynn's resignation, and he even said on here, he goes, the biggest issue here is that the phone conversations between Flynn and the Russian ambassador were intercepted and intentionally leaked to the media. He said, the American people, I quote, this is what he said, the American people have to know that there's a game going on inside the intelligence community where there are those who want to separate the U.S. from Russia in a way that would reignite the Cold War. That's what's at the bottom of all of this. It's early in the morning. It's Valentine's Day. Wake up, America. He went on to say he believes money is a direct factor for those looking to cash in on another conflict between U.S. and Russia. There you go. He said what's going on in the intelligence community with this president is unprecedented, he said. They're making every effort to upend him. Who knows what the truth is anymore? He went on to say how he believes there is definitely something going on to undermine the president. And so, I mean, this is on Fox News, so usually they don't let anything this blatant go out. But he flat out called out the CIA dad about what's going on with this, and it's very clear. He straight up called it. We see McCain. We see the other guy there. They're going. They're trying to unite or trying to incite all this violence with Ukraine. They're trying to start another World War III. They're doing it as hard as they physically can right now, and they're really. They're not going to stop, in my opinion. These guys have to get it going. They have to feed the military-industrial complex. It's been 15 years since we've had a significant invasion into another country, and they have to feed this giant beast now to get it rolling so they completely collapse the stock market, completely collapse the bond, completely collapse the dollar, and they can try and usher in this new world currency out of the ashes of another World War III, Dad. But I was pretty proud of him that he called it out on Fox News the other day that there's definitely a monetary gain behind this war with Russia, and that there's a CIA collusion to try and upend President Trump, Deb.
You know, we have talked about this so many times. I've gone into the black ops of the CIA being a satanic organization. I've gone into the whole bit with the D-Wave computer and how they're tying in it into the CIA through their black magicians. I mean, I've talked about all of this stuff for the last 2 years on the show, and I tell you what, every single thing I warned us about is coming to pass, because the reality is this. You know, until we get this intelligence community under control, this is not going to change. Until we restore the executive branch to power and take this power away. Last Friday, you've got to hear the show, guys. If you did not hear last Friday's show, I'm not going to go over it again. And I talk about what happened with the CIA, why it happened after World War II, what in the world is going on with our government, and who in the world's in charge. In fact, there's a term we hear, it's called political cronyism. Cronyism, for those of you who aren't familiar with that word, is the practice of partiality in awarding jobs and other advantages to friends or trusted colleagues, especially in politics and between politicians and supportive organizations. Now, the reason I read that, because I want to talk to you about cronyism and what's going on with the American politics. This is an article by James. It says, cronyism is for the 0.00001 is a growing cancer that has destroyed the rule of law and its assets stripped middle America to the bone, making many one or two paychecks from the street. The real reason we have no rule of law for the political class is because of cronyism. The cronyism has transformed much of the D.C. establishment into large RICO crime syndicates, with up to 70% of all elected and appointed U.S. government officials entrapped by various sophisticated human compromise ops such as video graft, honey traps, and even pedophilia for most. Also included, I'm adding this, are going to be drugs, it's going to be whores, prostitutes, all of this stuff, sexual with children, all of this stuff. It says DC pigs are feeding freely at the taxpayer's trough. Three abusers of we the people and our tax revenue feed like pigs are the pack traps at the taxpayer's trough. Have used cronyism to protect them from the prosecutions they deserve. In other words, the judges are also being blackmailed, and so they won't bring them to trial. This is accompanied by unlimited congressional spending, followed by unlimited borrowing of more fiat phony money from the private Federal Reserve, all to be repaid with full interest. Tax and spend with few limits, best described as covert corporate welfare, has become the expected norm inside of Congress. I mean, all of this congressional tax and spend is actually clear-cut, prosecutable, major RICO crime. Certainly Robert Blakely, who wrote the massive federal RICO laws, would have a lot to say about this. Never was a state and federal law more applicable to these taxpayer-financed organized crimes, because so much fraud has been used by the banksters to cover up their financial crimes. There is no statute of limitations. When there is massive fraud used to conceal a crime, there can be no statute of limitations involved. I mean, cronyism subverts the rule of law and common law as well. Cronyism is the root cause of all hell on earth, war, starvation, disease, and endemic political corruption. Money from nothing with pernicious accumulating interest usury charged for its use forever is what the Federal Reserve is doing. Never forget the true causes of all this. All of the endemic bribes and payoff to the U.S. Congress, directly or indirectly from the City of London, the Rothschild, Khazarian, mobster, banksters, and their Federal Reserve System, and NAFTA, GAFTA, GATT, and WTO expiration of the American jobs. All of this is being done to completely seize the power and hijack America, because they were empowered by the Bank of London and by the Rothschild, Khazarian, banksters. This is who has done all of this to us. And guys, if you don't look at this as what's going on from a reality standpoint and realize that the internet is the new Gutenberg press, and we have the ability to you guys need to be taking these shows when I do them on these topics and sending them to your entire email list. Not so you're going to support Health Masters by doing that, but that you get the truth out there so people will know who's really in charge with all of this stuff. Guys, until we cut the head off the snake, I have killed so many water moccasins, you can't even believe it, here in Central Florida. Probably 200 of them in the last 50, 60 years. I was killing them as kids, still killing them to this day. These are pit vipers. They're unbelievably deadly. And what we have here is a giant pit viper in Washington through cronyism. And the problem is, if you cut the tail off of a water moccasin, I made this mistake before, it doesn't do anything but make that snake really, really mad. Okay? You've got to cut the head off the snake. And until you cut the head of the Federal Reserve Bank off, and get rid of the ability of these guys to print this incredible amount of money to bribe all of these people in Congress and all of these corporations they own, until you get the head of the snake and you kill it, you're not going to fix this mess, Austin, period.
Well, that was about as accurate as it gets right there, bud. I mean, if anybody wants the real truth of what's going on, we give it to you here, if you guys haven't noticed that. We don't candy coat anything. We don't put sugar on anything. It is what it is, and we're going to tell you the truth the way that we find it, as clear as we find it. Do we get everything 100% accurate? No, but we get a lot of stuff right, and the stuff that we get right, it's spot on, in my opinion. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Dad. If people want to send this stuff out, you got to start sending it to other people that are interested in this and trying to wake up as many people as possible to really get the truth out, because as we see, the mainstream media isn't going to do anything but spread more lies. And back to that, the AI you talked about, that what they're trying to do now. Well, DARPA is at it again. We keep talking about these guys. They're a nightmare as far as what they're starting to produce. All they are is a globalist hand that's producing all this secretive AI technology and putting it all together for usage, current usage. The ultra secretive military research agency, DARPA, is getting a maximum run for its money when it comes to developing advanced and alarming forms of surveillance. The private research venture has produced a genetically modified cyborg dragonfly now that can deliver payloads as well as perform guided pollination and surveillance missions. Using insects as a covert form of spying on citizens has long been a dream of the globalist government. It appears the day is finally upon us when the weird bug flying a little too close for comfort may actually be one of Uncle Sam's little insectoid deputies called Dragon F. I. The GM cyborg is half insect, half machine, is controlled via fingerprint-sized backpack, which allows a remote operator to control its direction. The Dragonfly is powered by a solar panel developed by R&D company Draper Labs in collaboration with Howard Hughes Medical Institute. The project required new technology controlling the Dragonfly's flight navigation, actually required modifying the Dragonfly to react to pulses of light. This involved giving the insect a gene that creates light-sensitive proteins. This right here shows you the level of technology that they already have as far as cyborgs, as far as half man, half machine. They already have this technology, guys. These guys are 20, 30 years ahead of what we think they are, and they slowly leak this stuff out as they start getting stuff ready to be operable in the field, just so they let us know what they're doing as they progress. But if they're already doing this with dragonflies, and this is already operable and in the field, this is something that they're way ahead of this in testing with other aspects of it, though. But I mean, how do you think about this, Dad? I mean, you're sitting outside on the dock, you're doing something. Now the NSA's got spying dragonflies that are hovering around the roof, listening to your conversation so they can record everything. Because we already know they don't get a warrant to record everybody. They record every single transaction via email, text, phone conversation. They don't get warrants for it. They store all of it and they look at it as they need it. The whole warrant thing is a giant lie that we still think we have that constitutional right from illegal search and seizure. Obviously, when you start seeing genetically modified cyborg dragonflies that can be used as surveillance missions, it's very clear that the rule of law involving search warrants doesn't exist anymore. And also, too, the AI is completely advancing much faster than we even expected to, Dad, with stuff like this already in the field.
Genesis chapter 6. I had a friend of mine last night, the national talk show, call me up and we were talking, and he basically said that, you know, he was talking about Jim Mars, and he was saying how Jim Mars believes it's all about extraterrestrials have done everything on the planet. And I emailed him back and I said, well, I agree with what most of the stuff that Jim Mars says. I just don't call them extraterrestrials. I call them fallen angels. And I said, and until you wrap your head around the fact that this world's been here for a long, long time, and these fallen angels had a war against God, and these guys came in and they did all of this mischief they did thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago with this advanced technology, including building Atlantis, because I believe that Atlantis occurred from the point when God created the Garden of Eden to the point of the Great Flood, it was destroyed. I believe Atlantis existed in that period, not 100,000 years ago. That's what I personally think happened, and I believe a lot of the documentation from the historical records proves that. But the crazy thing is, until you wrap your head around the fact that there are interdimensional entities and angels, whatever you want to call them, that we're dealing with and interacting with on an ongoing basis, which is what the Bible tells us we're doing. The Bible says this. I'm not making this up, that this is what's going on with all of this. Now, personally, I believe that the Atlantean civilization, as Plato talked about, I believe it was probably thousands of years in advance of where we are now. And the reason for that is because they brought in all that advanced technology automatically into that country, into that city. Now, as far as how many years we are advanced, I would venture to say we have a breakaway civilization that is at least 500 years in advance of where we are now, perhaps up to 1,000.
That's how far advanced this technology goes, and it's exactly what you said. They allow little bits and pieces of this to come out. We've got smart dust that's so small, it attaches itself into your central nervous system now by the use of barium, right into your doggone nerve system, and generates an electrical pulse because it ties into your body's electrical field. Are you kidding me? Yes, we have that. The smart dust. We have these tiny, tiny miniaturized robots like dragonflies now that fly around with recording devices. You realize how difficult it is to make a dragonfly fly, having the wings and the motors and all that kind of stuff, and they have this technology already? See, here's the thing, guys. They're lying to us. What happened at Roswell in 1947 was the release of huge amounts of advanced technology into our system. Plus, I personally believe that these fallen angels are still here because the Bible says they are. They said they were there after the before and again after the flood. And I believe these fallen angels, this reptilian bunch, remember, Satan showed up as a snake. I really believe that they are orchestrating the course of events on this planet through the Sabbatean bloodlines, through the worship of Lucifer, through the power of change in their dimension with the satanic worship they have here. And that's why the entire Washington establishment's in full-blown panic mode because of Pizzagate. Pizzagate's about to blow the cover off of all of this mess, but nobody wants to talk about it in Washington anymore because they don't want everybody to be exposed for being a stinking pedophile. That's where this whole thing boils back down to, is we got a bunch of pedophiles running rampant in Washington, D.C., and nobody wants to talk about it, and everybody wants to pretend like it's not happening. Well, guys, it's real. We can't pretend like it's not happening, and we've got to realize that we're not part of this. We're not of this world, because once we get born again, we're bought again by the blood of Jesus, and we're transformed, the Bible says, and we're connected to God and His dimension through the Holy Spirit, and it allows us to basically have a certain portion of God's power, that we have authority over Lucifer. That's why they're under our feet, these things are. But guys, we're starting to expose them now because of this internet, because of this Gutenberg press, because of the research that we can get. Back when I was in college, I had to go use what we call the Dewey Decimal System, Austin. And we actually had to go into a doggone library. That sounds like archaic, and it really was. And pull the Dewey Decimal card out, find out where the book was hidden in the library, hope somebody put it back in the right place, and make photocopies out of the book if we're going to be rewriting a chapter or using it as a reference. And the nuttiest part about all of this stuff is that's how we used to have to do research. Now, anybody can get any research done immediately by simply Googling it. That's the craziest thing about all of this stuff, this double-edged sword they call the internet or the internet superhighway or whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to call this thing. It has allowed them to complete new surveillance on us, but it's also allowed us to tell the truth and get out there and not allow them to control the media, buddy. By the way, one more article I want to read on Islam. This is by Mark Ellis. We touched on this a year ago, but I want to read this again. It says how Islam progressively takes over countries. In Dr. Peter Hammond's book, Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam, he documents the way Muslims slowly develop a presence in various countries, and as their population numbers build, become more aggressive and assertive about exercising Sharia law. Islam is not a religion, nor is it a cult. It is, in its fullest form, a complete and total 100% system of life. Dr. Hammond notes in his book, Islam has religious, legal, political, economic, social, and military components. The religious component is a beard for all of the other components. Their takeover of a country, what Hammond refers to as Islamization, begins when the population of Muslims reaches a critical mass and they begin to agitate for various privileges. Open, free, democrat societies are particularly vulnerable. When politically correct, tolerant, and culturally diverse societies agree to Muslim demands for their religious privileges, some of their components tend to creep in as well. Here's what he said. The United States is 0.6% Muslim. Australia is 1.5% Muslim. Canada is 1.9% Muslim. Norway, 1.8% Muslim. Germany is almost 5% Muslim. Thailand, 6%. Sweden, over 5%, close to 7% Muslim now. Switzerland, over 4% Muslim. And here's what he says that happens when you get this group of people in here and they start taking over. He says, initially, he said that their belief is that once they get to a certain point that peace will be achieved. He said that unfortunately peace is never achieved, as in 100% of states the most radical Muslims intimidate and spew hatred and satisfy their bloodlust by killing less radical Muslims for various reasons. Now guys, this is what's happening. When they get to a certain point, they start increasing the Sharia law, they start increasing what they want to do. It says the violence increases when the Muslim population reaches 20%. After reaching 20%, nations can expect hair trigger rioting, jihad militia formations, sporadic killings, and the burning of Christian churches and Jewish synagogues. Such in Ethiopia, the Muslims are 32.8%. And we go on and on and on. And this is what we're seeing in our cities, our major cities in the United States, like Detroit, which are having huge Muslim populations. They have Sharia law implemented, and in some areas the police don't even go into anymore because it's so dangerous. Guys, this is where they're trying to take the country, and they're bringing these radical Muslims in, these radical terrorist warmongering Muslims of fighting age into the United States by the thousands and thousands, and they're trying to do everything they can to implement the rules by radicals to destroy the United States. And the sad part is, Austin, they live here too, the blithering idiots. But the problem is they want to be at the top of this pyramidal structure, and they want to be the ones doing the rules and killing the people. Guys, it never works that way. Stalin did the same thing. Hitler did the same thing. When they take control, they start killing the people to help them come into control. That's what they do. That's how it works. And guys, you'll be on the hit list if you're involved with these guys as far as trying to take over the United States first, because they're afraid you're going to do the same thing against them. What's your next story, Austin? What do you think?
Oh yeah, that's exactly what's going on with that. I mean, Paris was on fire last night. I don't know if you've seen some of the photos of the riots over there. They've had widespread suburban rioting. It's spilled into central Paris now as hundreds went on a rampage. Now, the media is saying that all this is due because one Muslim individual got beat by four police officers, and then one of the police officers basically shoved his baton up his rectum. Now, that's pretty egregious to do to somebody when you're beating them. I don't know the entire situation, but the media is trying to spin it now and justifying, and I've looked like four or five different articles, all the media sources are justifying these guys by saying, well, they did this guy, he's in the hospital now, blah, blah, blah. They're just rioting because they're upset about it. No, these guys are uncontrolled right now. As I just said, it spilled over into Paris. Officers were forced to unleash unprecedented amounts of tear gas into crowds as buildings and bins were set on fire at the Bars Metro Station, which is just around the corner from Eurostar Hub. As fire crews went in to extinguish the blaze, lines of riot police were attacked and shops were being looted. There you go, guys. Remember, somebody got injured by the police, so we're going to loot all the stores and set everything on fire. That justifies everything. The policeman at the scene said windows were smashed and officers were attacked repeatedly. Small group of protesters, here you go guys, wearing hoods to hide their identities and wearing masks, started trouble and then ran away after breaking and setting things on fire. Does that seem slightly odd to you guys? We're seeing the exact same behavior all over the world. We saw the exact same thing at Berkeley in California. We're seeing the same thing in Paris. We saw the same thing in Ferguson. The exact same behavior over and over and over again. It has nothing to do with these individuals being mad because this one Muslim was beaten severely, and he should not have been, in my opinion. I don't know the whole story, but generally beating an unarmed person with a baton and raping them is not something that's really good to do, just saying. But again, the media is justifying all this behavior by saying, well, this is why they're doing it. They're breaking into buildings, looting them, setting them on fire, beating police officers, attacking firemen, because they're protesting. Again, protesting. That's what they always like to say. They're not rioters. They're not violently looting. They're not committing forcible felonies against law enforcement. They're just protesters that are upset about the situation. So yes, Dad, that whole group of Muslims, those whole individuals, especially over in Europe, are becoming so militant and so empowered because, as you just said, larger amounts of them are starting to collude together in mass in these areas in Europe. So not 2 or 3% are there now. Now it's 10%, 15%, 30%, 40%. And as you just saw, as you just said, when it starts reaching those numbers, it becomes complete and total Muslim anarchy because they do whatever they want and implement Sharia law. That's why they have places they blatantly call in the UK and in other parts of Europe no-go Sharia zones. The police is not allowed to enter those areas without express consent from the Muslim leaders, and they will not dare enter those areas without multiple backup escorts because they know they will be attacked immediately upon going in there. What in the world are they thinking, even allowing something like that to occur? We're having the exact same thing start now up in Dearborn, Michigan, It's been going on for multiple years now with militant, radical, jihadist Muslims that have taken over almost that entire city. When you start having individuals that come into a city and take over and start bringing in their literal, they have Sharia courts up there now, their own Sharia courts that they abide only by Sharia law, and the police refuse to go in those areas and let them be. As far as I'm concerned, if you have people coming in from a different country with a violent, militant religion that they want to bring in and overtake the rest of it, my only response to you is the National Guard can handle it. If they want to let themselves have no-go zones and law enforcement doesn't want to do their job, the National Guard can come in and start arresting individuals like this that refuse to abide by constitutional law, Dad. That's how I feel about it.
I agree with you 100%, Austin. I mean, the whole thing has gotten out of hand, and that's where it's headed in the United States, and that's what they want to do. By the way, two-thirds of the U.S. Navy strike fighters cannot fly. I just thought I'd mention that. This is crazy. Nearly two-thirds of the U.S. Navy F-18 strike fighters cannot fly. Most of them, there isn't enough money to fix them. Defense News reported, adding the fleet has been grounded because jets are undergoing planned maintenance and are awaiting spare parts. 62% of the U.S. Navy's F-18s are out of service, of which 27% are in major depot work, and 37% are simply waiting maintenance or parts. A few years ago, I went up to South Carolina, and we went up there for a wedding when Josh Jordan got married. And we went to the aircraft carrier they had out there in the harbor. I think it was in Charleston Harbor. And what was also amazing, they had all these fighter planes up there, and there was an F-18 up there. I got to put a couple pictures of a beautiful aircraft, beautiful plane. And they were telling me, the guys on the deck there, they had been scavenging parts off that plane to make their planes fly that they were still in service. I mean, unbelievable. Now, here's why that's happening. This is the same thing with the space shuttle now. I mean, this is, again, is my opinion based upon, you know, basically what I've seen over all these years. The technology that we currently have with the real Air Force, the ones that we have that are basically, you know, using the ion propulsion systems, et cetera, is so far advanced over these F-18s. The F-35's a joke. There's a reason the F-35's not working, Austin, is because they've stuck $1 trillion into a plane that the money's not going into that plane. It's got to be going somewhere else. Nobody can be that stupid to put that much money into a plane that won't fly right. Okay? The problem with this is that we're going for all of these advanced systems now and these advanced airplanes, but they don't want us to know about these advanced systems and these advanced airplanes. So it's kind of like the space shuttles. Okay, until just a few years ago, we were using this antiquated rocket technology developed back in the 1920s by the Germans to put payloads into space. And we still use some of those with the Atlas V booster rockets, etc. All that is obfuscation, as far as I'm concerned, concealing the real ability that NASA, the CIA, Skunk Works has. We have such advanced systems now, they don't want to try to explain where they came from. That's why they're all super black budget, black classified. There's no way that our country would leave almost two-thirds of our strike fighters unflyable if those were the only level of defense we had. Complete and total nonsense. They have stuff that they have their space-based weapons platforms that are so precise and so amazing they can do anything with them. In fact, if you read the book Where Did the Towers Go by Dr. Judy Wood, who's a structural engineer, by the way, who taught at the PhD level, I believe it was at Clemson, she basically said that there was an energy particle beam that was used on the towers that were basically microwaving the steel to make them collapse like they did, and they were basically cooking the people inside of the towers, and that's why the people were diving out to their deaths rather than trying to be sacrificed. That's what it was, a giant sacrifice. Rather than going down into the rubble, they were actually killing themselves rather than trying to be, you know, saved, you know, rescued. So we've got technology out there that can dustify, is what she called it, solid steel and concrete, return it to its molecular structure, to basically just atoms. That's the kind of technology we have. So an F-18's fighter, that's two-thirds of them are grounded, they don't really care about the F-18s. They really don't care about the F-35s. That's for all of the people who don't know about the advanced weapon systems they currently have available and have currently already deployed. Because think about it. We shut down the space system. Do you really believe that? You really believe that we shut down the shuttle system and we are no longer capable of taking large payloads into orbit? You really believe that's true? I mean, why in the world would this country, if that was the most advanced technology that there was out there, shut that entire system down and basically put it into mothballs? Think through this stuff, guys. The only way this is going on is because they're so far ahead, they got tired of pumping all that money into NASA for obfuscation. Same thing is true with the F-18s. Same thing is true with the F-35s. None of these airplanes are anywhere near to the level that our technology currently has, Austin, period.
That's some pretty valid points, man. I think you're pretty accurate about that, because you see that, and that's really one of the only plausible explanations, because we're spending trillions of dollars in all these other areas, like you just said, with these planes, on all these budgets, and the military's still crumbling because none of the money's going into infrastructure, and we hear the same thing, even though they pump more money into a certain department, certain money into an area. Hear the same thing from the military. Oh, we're waiting on spare parts. We're not getting the spare parts. Like you said, it's because they're not making them. They're not making the spare parts. They don't care. It's not a priority. If they really do have the technology that you say they have, which I think they do, why in the world are you going to budget off another $500 million for this part for all the F-18s and another $200 million for all the parts for this for another F-18? Why are you going to do that? You can just sink more of the money into these the special spacecrafts that they have. So it's pretty wild with that. Now, this is pretty interesting with Warren Buffett. He just I don't really care for him a whole lot, but he definitely has some weird things, and they're obviously pretty profitable for him. But he just dropped his Walmart stock significantly. The billionaire just sold off $900 million of Walmart stock, and the move reportedly leaves America's biggest retailer playing catch-up with e-commerce rivals such as Amazon, whose market value is now $356 billion against Walmart's $298 billion. Walmart shares have declined 21% since the end of 2014, whereas Amazon's have increased by 119% since the end of 2014. Since it started to invest billions in e-commerce, Walmart has only managed to obtain a tiny share of the market compared to Amazon. Its online sales were $13.7 billion in 2015 compared to Amazon's online sales in 2015 of $107 billion. And now we've talked about this before. It seems very clear that the model that has been going on with Walmart is not working anymore, because Amazon is literally taking over online retail, because they basically rape everybody. Excuse that vernacular. All the wholesalers, all the retailers now are getting hosed. We've seen this with so many different manufacturers we know, that Amazon comes in and undercuts everybody and intentionally encourages the other retailers to undercut everybody so that the prices get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And it's good technically for the consumer that's buying off Amazon, but to actual retailers and manufacturers that are keeping Amazon going, it's really, really, really beginning to shoot them in the foot, because nobody is making any significant money whatsoever, because Amazon is intentionally suppressing prices as low as possible. So that's why their model's working so effectively. And I mean, they were the first company that I know of to be able to directly contract the United States Postal Service to deliver on Sundays. That's some significant pull right there, Dad. But it's pretty wild now that Walmart's dropping so bad that, you know, Warren Buffett decided he was going to pull $900 million of shares out of there. That's a pretty nice little chunk of cash.
Well, I heard that Walmart was closing another 300 stores, and 17 people were losing their job as cash register attendants, you know, for checkout girls. So, I mean,
that doesn't surprise me.
Okay, 300 stores closed down, 17 people losing their job. That means there's no cash registers ever open at Walmart.
No.
Sorry, Austin, I went too fast on that one. So, but that was a joke. But the thing about it is that Walmart, though, has closed hundreds of stores around the country, because you're right, Austin, the online retailing. And see, this is what we've done at Health Masters. You know, we don't have a giant, giant facility that we work out of. We don't do all of that. We maintain our costs and maintain our overhead. We've had this type of model since we got started 37 years ago, because we've learned a long, long time ago, when you start working from a fixed location with all the overhead associated with that, it really, really causes a lot of problems as far as trying to maintain the overhead. And then you get stuck with the legacy costs. Then you get stuck with all the maintenance and all the updates and everything else. That's why all these cities and counties and states are running into trouble, because they've got these extremely lucrative retirement programs. These guys can work for 20 or 30 years, retirement for 60, 70, 80% of their income for the rest of their life. Well, sooner or later, that's a Ponzi scheme, and sooner or later, no one's there to fund that anymore, and the taxpayers simply can't pick up the burden anymore with it, Austin. It becomes absolutely ridiculous. What's your next story, bud?
Well, no, it's out of control with that. We've seen that with a lot of counties and a lot of cities, especially out in California and all over the country, though. As you just said, you got these people that they start working for the city at 18, 19 years of age. They fully retire, you know, at the age of 40 with the city. They're making 80% of what they made when they were working, which, you know, even if that's only 30, 40,000, you start multiplying that by tens of thousands of people all over the state, all over the country.
Oh.
You start doing that for another 20, 30, 40 years like we've been doing now, where these individuals that were retired in their 40s or in their 80s, but they're still getting full, you know, 80% pay. You can't keep that model. As you just said very clearly, it's a Ponzi scheme. I mean, you can't keep that up, especially when it's based off taxpayer income that's coming in, and you reach a certain point where infrastructure, upkeep, all this stuff really starts to take a burden. And like you just said, with Health Masters, that's what we've really tried to do here, is keep overhead down. We try and keep enough employees here with shipping and phones and everything else to maintain proper business model and give the best service we can, but we've never let ourselves get overbloated here. A lot of companies, you know, they start having a spike, they hire on another dozen people. Well, if you start doing that, then you got to lay off half a dozen when it slows down, but you still have six more people on staff that have to go on payroll every week. And all that stuff starts to add up over the place, and that's what you see with Walmart now. All the maintenance infrastructure with all the buildings, granted, Amazon has built obviously, but they're not retail walk-ins. So the model inside of them is simply shipping, receiving, inventory. All that stuff is built as essentially a shipping unit, whereas Walmart, you have retail. You have to have people stocking the shelves. You have people making sure everything's in order. You have to make sure the marketing's correct for the companies that are paying the most, with cereal at the highest level down to the bottom. All that stuff has to be done on a regular basis in every single store across the country, whereas Amazon, all they have to do is change the URL or change the code on the website, and they update their entire website immediately. That's all they have to do. So, yeah, Amazon's definitely being the takeover. And you are right, though, about the joke that went over my head when you first said it. The cash registers, you start looking at them now, all the self-checkouts now are really starting to expand at almost all the Walmarts. When I went one to the other day, they had probably, I think they had 15 self-checkouts in the one section, and probably 80% of the cash registers all the way down had the lights off on them. There was like two registers that had the lights on with somebody running them, and then they had the 15 self-pays that were all completely full, and there was one person standing there manning all the ones if there was something that went wrong. So out of all the registers they had taking through, two of them were open, and one person was manning all the unregistered ones. That's three cash registers and an entire super center. That's not a lot of people at all. Walmart's having to scale back. They're having to do this model because, as you just saw, their sales are plummeting over the last 2 years, Dad.
Amazon's eating them all up. By the way, safe salt levels are double those of current health guidelines. And this is a good story. A health warnings about salt have been overdone. An influential panel expert has concluded the real safe upper limit is more than double the level that health guardians are currently recommending. People can safely consume around 5 grams of salt a day without raising the risk of high blood pressure, even though the current grams are only about 2.3 grams. So, guys, I always do this. We always use the really good salt we have. We have the deep underground sea salt that we use at the office. Phenomenal product. I put it on everything. And, by the way, chlorine in drinking water has been linked to heart disease again and heart attacks again. And what they found with the young men who were in Vietnam back in the 60s when they were given chlorine tabs to put into their water because they're drinking swamp water, that they found basically these kids were coming home with massive amounts of atherosclerotic plaquing from the chlorine in the water that they were using. So, guys, always make sure you use distilled water or reverse osmosis water. We have really good distillation systems at Health Masters. Guys, I want to thank you again. Remember, tomorrow will be on the blood of Christ and about getting saved. Tomorrow's going to be a really good show. I want to run it all weekend. And, guys, we love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for supporting us. Thanks for getting your vitamins from us. Thanks for getting your muscle blast from us. Thanks for getting your cortisol blocker from us. Thanks for doing all the things that you do for us and being there to support us. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for praying for us. Thank you for being our friends. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We know we got people listening all over the world. Thank you. God bless you. Austin, go ahead and close, bud.
Yeah, and a side note, Dad just mentioned water. You know, that's something that's really important, and I've talked about this to so many people in detail. A lot of friends have asked me that as far as what to do with water storage, because that is your prime thing you need as far as storage if you're trying to prep for any type of survival aspect. You need to have at least a gallon of water per person for every day you want to be prepped for. Generally, I say at least 2 weeks worth. So that's 14 gallons of water per person. That's quite a bit if you start having a big family. So the easiest way to store that is either in large containers, like the 5 gallon BPA container, BPA free containers you can buy online. Also, we've used old glass apple jugs that are glass, 1 gallon. And what you do is, instead of using a bunch of solvents or chemicals, all you need to do is put a teaspoon of colloidal silver. We carry the colloidal silver 500, which is 500 ppms. 1 teaspoon for 5 gallons of water usually does the trick. Now, you can add a little bit more if you're concerned about it a lot, but it generally works pretty well. You don't have to add chlorine or anything to it. So what I've done, because I always like to keep water stored up, I use the gallon jugs that I have stored up in one of the back closets, and I use colloidal silver. So for 1 gallon, I'll use like, you know, a quarter of a teaspoon, and then I'll add in about 10 to 15 drops of our Aquatrace into each jug, keep it in a dark, cool environment, don't expose it to a lot of light or heat, and it usually will last pretty much indefinitely. It's water. If it does get contaminated, which in my opinion is next to impossible to get contaminated if it's sealed, if you have colloidal silver in it, you can always just boil the water or run it through a secondary backup filter, which you should have in general, always, anyways. But if you want to, also, what I've done as well is you can also rotate the water jug. So if you, after you get 10 or 15 jugs in your closet, go through them occasionally. If you're going somewhere, bring a jug with you, use it, rotate it, fill it back up, and do that. I do that all the time. But it's very, very important, guys, that you keep at least a moderate amount of water on tap at all times and have a backup water filtration system. The water distillation system that we carry is great when the power's in. That's what I primarily use. And with a generator or backup power, I would still continue to use that, but having a non-power, some type of gravity filter, usually the ones I use are the Berkey filters. They're great for that. That was just a side note. But, guys, we appreciate everything. Check the website out if you have any questions. We have some great products on there right now, some good kits on sale. The Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit is on sale again. If you've seen that, that's our basic supplement stack, 5 different products. Really, really good protocol. Also, the Ultimate Estrogen Blocker is on sale as product of the week. So check those out, guys. Let us know what you think of them. A lot of people running the Muscle Blast and the Fit Food right now, getting prepped for the summer, trying to lose body fat and get in shape. So lots of good stuff there to check out, guys. Email us, call us if you have any questions, healthmasters.com. And also, too, if you guys need to call us, the 1-800 number is 1-800-726-1834. That's 1-800-726-1834. And you can check out the website out 24 hours a day if you want and sign up for our free weekly newsletter. But you guys have a safe, blessed night, and we will talk to you guys again later on.